Here I am. You get me. You get me. We got Father Looker, Father Shiel, and Father Pacinger are all up or coming back now. We need to pray for traveling mercies for them as they come back from Alabama for a very festive wedding that happened up there. And you get me. I'm sorry. It's just the way it goes. And worse yet, Cindy is in with the kids, so I got nobody to keep me on task to look at. So, and this is very nerve wracking. I want y'all to know that shimps usually are never on the front row, but here they are down on the front row. Well, for those who were here, wait, I'm not even going to start yet. I just got to say something. My goodness, God is doing something in the midst of us. Amen. Is he not? The it doesn't matter which worship leader, though we're blessed with tremendous worship leaders. It doesn't matter who's leading. It doesn't matter what songs we're doing. And it hasn't even mattered who's preaching. The anointing of the Lord. Father Lon last week, oh my goodness. What a tremendous message. Father Shield's last message was tremendous. Father Looker is just mining some gold. And I just continue to get this sense every Sunday that God is just strengthening. He's just moving even greater and greater among us. And then you get me today. So we're gonna see how that plays out. Last week we had a little diversion. Every now and then it happens. I love it when it does. But one of our lay readers, Bruce Hunter, stood up, and before he did his reading, he just said about God flipping the script. And you know what? I had to go up to him after the service and say, Bruce, I'd been trying to craft my message for next Sunday. I had really two separate things I wanted to talk about, and I didn't know how to get them together. And that very simple statement of God flipping the script worked it. I said, so when you listen to the tape, when you listen to the sermon, it's not plagiarism, because God gave it to you to give it to me. Amen. So we're going to talk about God. What do we mean God flips the script? Well, let's just think about it for a minute. Throughout the Bible, there are numerous accounts of God changing circumstances miraculously in an instant.
Amen.
I think about Moses leading the children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt, nowhere to go. The army approaching behind them, a vast sea in front of them, and God flips the script and parts the sea.
Yes, he did.
And they go right through. Did he not?
Amen.
He changed the circumstance in an instant. I think of the three Hebrew children who got thrown into a fiery furnace unto certain death because they would not bow their knee to another.
Amen.
And when they looked in the furnace, I saw a fourth man who looked like the Son of God. What? He flipped the script. He took a sure death and made it into a victory.
Amen.
For his name's sake. I think about Daniel getting thrown into the lion's den. Oh my goodness. A lion's den. Hungry lion's den. Overnight. Lions feast in the evening and in the morning. Not in the heat of the day. Daniel had to face it in the evening and in the morning. And when they called out to him, my God has preserved me. God, on his behalf, flipped the script.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Come on now. I'm going to preaching this morning.
Hallelujah.
Ain't going to be no teaching. It's going to be preaching.
All right.
There is a difference, don't you know? You're not going to get all them big words from me. You're not going to get all those definitions from me. And I'm not going to speak Greek. I have a hard enough time with English. You don't need me trying other languages. But God is in the business of flipping the script. We see it in our gospel today. Let's talk about that. Did you hear? Jesus said, "Let us go across." He got in the boat with his disciples, and they began to journey across the sea. Amen. In a boat. Why were they in the boat? Because Jesus said, "Let us go." Amen. They weren't in the boat because they went to go visitate. That's not a word. I just made it up. Just in case you were wondering, that's a made-up word. But I do that too. I make words my own. Huh?
That's your Greek.
That's my Greek. They took Jesus in the boat because Jesus said, "Take me over here." Okay?
Amen.
Who were the makeup of the disciples again? Oh, wait a minute. They were lifetime fishermen. They were men who, most of them, had earned their life on the water.
Amen.
Well seasoned. The vast majority of them on that sea, in that water, in that very boat.
Amen.
They knew what they were doing. They were comfortable. Sure, hop in my boat. We'll go.
Okay.
I have a friend that has a boat. He's very comfortable in his boat. More comfortable than I am in the boat.
Amen.
But he's the captain of that boat. And it's his boat. And he knows that boat. And he not only knows the boat, he knows the water we're in. He knows the locations of where we're going. He also knows how to read the skies.
Amen.
Oh, we're not going that way today. All we're right. going that way. Or sometimes you might even get a phone call from a friend that has a boat that says, "We're not going at all today. The weather's not going to be right." Looked like everything was right. Nobody complained when Jesus said, "Get in the boat. We're going over there." Okay, Lord, sure. We're going in the boat. I'm comfortable in the boat. Here we go. They get going in the boat. They're so comfortable in the boat. Well, Jesus is so comfortable in the boat. He goes on the back end. And Mark tells us in his account of this story that he fell asleep on a pillow. That's very comfortable. That is, I mean, you know, he got his head and laid it down on a pillow. Jesus is just so quiet, relaxing, just chilling. Jesus was chilling in the boat. And a storm suddenly came up. Suddenly. Squalls and winds and waves, so much so it began to swamp the boat. I wondered, if Jesus is in the boat and he's laying down in the boat and the boat is filling with water, did Jesus get wet? I'm just wondering. I would think he probably did, and yet he still slept.
Amen.
He was still sleeping. What is wrong with him? Why is he sleeping? Master, we're going to perish. We know these seas. We know what's going on here. This is not some little rain cloud that's gone by. This isn't even a little thunderstorm that's going to move by. This is one that's going to kill us. We know, our experience tells us. We are going to die. Jesus wakes up, rebukes the storm, says, "Peace, be still."
Amen.
And immediately the scripture tells us it was calm.
Amen.
There is nothing like the calmness on the water.
Amen.
After a storm. You can be heading and a storm come and the water's all choppy and all that. And the tail end of that storm comes and it gives you one last hurrah. It pelts you again. There's heavy rain at the end, just like there was at the beginning. There's gusts of wind at the end, just like there was at the beginning. But guess what? The energy of that storm took everything from behind it and pulled it to it. And there's nothing but calm behind the storm. And the sea turns to glass. Have you ever been on the water after? It's just slick. It's beautiful. And it's quiet. As we read in the scripture today, the storm was not the only thing that Jesus rebuked.
Amen.
Because his next words out of his mouth was to his disciples. Where is your faith?
Amen.
Wow. Where is your faith?
Amen.
Basically saying, didn't I tell you to get in the boat?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't I tell you we were going over here?
Amen.
Didn't I get so comfortable I fell asleep? Jesus flipped the script in an instant with a word. What appeared to the disciples to be sure death and destruction, Jesus, by his very word, spoken word, calmed the storm. You ever feel like Jesus is asleep in your life? Come on, you're here today. He's already in your boat.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
You ever feel like he's asleep? Resting? Not paying attention to what's going on in your life?
Amen.
Have you ever cried out to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to die here.
Amen.
Why have you forsaken me? Where are you in all this? I mean, think about it for a minute. If the disciples thought it was going to be sure death, they just wanted to wake up Jesus so he could see himself die? Come on. I'm sorry, Kathy. I just find humorous things in this story. Huh? It is a funny picture. Or did a part of them know that he was their last hope? Jesus, in an instant, flipped their script. We all have stories in our life.
Amen.
Where we can look back and say, Jesus. You know, I preached a message one time years ago called God's Big Butt. I did. I might redo it. Think about that for a minute. God's Big Butt. Because you know how many times in the scripture it says, it goes through all this stuff, all this stuff, all this stuff, and then all of a sudden it says, but God. God's got a big butt. When he comes in, he changes the atmosphere. He flips the script. He changes it. You might laugh at that right now, but you're going to remember it. You are going to remember it. But God. Next time you're in the midst of a trial, how about declaring it before you see the answer? These circumstances are overwhelming me. These finances are falling apart. This relationship, I don't know what to do with, but God, you can change it.
Amen.
How about praying like that sometimes?
Amen.
In the midst of it all, God flips the script. Man in this congregation reached out to me last week. And was asking me for a reference on a message that I preached 3-4 years ago now. It's been a while. And he was asking me for the scripture where I got it. And it was out of Psalm 84. And it's, as they go on, I'm going to paraphrase it. As they go on a holy pilgrimage, they pass through the valley of Baca and they make it a place of springs and latter rain. The valley of Baca represents the valley of weeping. We go through valleys in our life. We go through struggles in our life. We go through periods of time in our life We don't understand. All we can do is cry. All we can do is wail. All we can do is feel desperate. But God has a bigger plan. He is taking those tears of those experiences that we're going through, and He's making them a place of living water for someone behind you that is going through a struggle, that you might give them living water by sharing your experience of that time that God flipped the script for me. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, we're told in the New Testament. Count it all joy when you walk through hard times. Count it all joy, because God in an instant can flip the script. Today's Father's Day, part two. Now let's see how they go together. For some of us, this is a tremendous day, because the father figure we had in our life, or we have in our life, has gone above and beyond. They have sown into our lives. They've been there to encourage us. They've been there to teach us. They've been there to show us stuff that we didn't know as we were growing. Maybe some of our dads taught us how to drive. You know, for some people, today is a very pleasant memory. They woke up this morning, I can't wait to tell my dad I love him. Some people today don't have that. We don't have, did you hear what I said? We, I'm putting myself in that group. We don't have a reference for an earthly father that is something to sing praises about. I don't know what it was like for my dad to teach me anything. When I was four, my dad left. I did not see or hear from my father until I was 14. 10 years of no father. A mother and four brothers raising us. Except I had grandparents. And I had a grandpa. The original Poppy. My grandkids call me Poppy, and to me, it's a privilege and an honor, because he was my Poppy. But Grandpa was, when Grandpa took my older brother and I in, he was 57 years old. I was four. He taught me how to fish, and he signed me up for sports, but he couldn't really help me with sports. He was a quiet yet very strong man. And I'm forever indebted to my grandfather for what he did for me in my life. As I pray for those of you who have invested in your grandchildren the same way, one saint or saints of the Lord in our midst today on the parties, for what they do, raising their second family. Those boys will know. They will know. Might not look at today, but trust me, one day one might be standing in a place similar to this, talking about the seed that was sown in their life by two people like the parties. Amen. Amen. Now that one wasn't in the notes. That just came out. I think the Lord just wanted y'all to hear that today. I knew what a stepfather was. In fact, I knew what four stepfathers were like. Come on now, I'm not the only one. In fact, I'll kick it up a notch. I knew what four alcoholic stepfathers were like. The abuse that I saw my mother go through. I know what that's like. So when you first came to me early in my life, and you tried to tell me about God, who was my heavenly Father, guess what? That's nothing but disappointment, abandonment, neglect, and abuse. I don't want anything to do with that. Do you know some people that we witness to? When we start talking about our heavenly Father, they're going to turn you right off. We have to talk about the love of the Heavenly Father. They have to hear it. I'm not telling you not to. I'm just trying to give you a reason why they're turning you out. Amen. Their reference. Amen. But in my life, God flipped the script. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He gave me a godly woman for a wife. Amen. He blessed me with three sons. And a 14-year-old brother that we took in and raised as our own. And flipped the script. Amen. Hallelujah. How much so? I'm just going to share a few things with you so you understand. When you see me up there praising God, this man's got reasons to praise God. You hear me? My dad. Last count, I think it was married 5 times. My older brother, 4 times. My younger brothers, 2, 3, and 2 times. My mom, 5 times. This week, Cindy and I are going to celebrate 41 years. God changed it. In an instant, the one thing Cindy and I knew, coming together as a young, did I say young? A young married couple, is we both did not want a home that we were raised in. We wanted to create something different. I was driven to be a father like I did not have. I was driven by that, sometimes way to the other side. But I knew in my heart, I didn't recognize it for a few years until I gave my life to the Lord. It wasn't my heart, it was the Lord speaking to me. Scott, we can change this. Scott, you can flip the script if you let me. My boys never knew what it was like for their dad to be absent. My boys have never seen me touch their mother. In fact, my boys have seen me touch them when they disrespected their mother. I used to tell them, we got an issue here. She might be your mama, that's my wife. We got a problem. My boys today are all grown. They all have families. And they all have children. And I marvel at the dads that they are. I marvel at the fathers that they have turned out to be. I am so proud of my sons. And my brother, who, by the way, not only had 2 of his own, he adopted 2. And when him and his wife decided to adopt 2 more children, I asked him, I said, Chris, what are you thinking? He goes, I can't help it, Scott. You did it for me. I have to do it for them. Amen. Amen. And God has come into my family. And he has not only flipped the script, He's rewrote the entire book. And I'm so grateful for my Heavenly Father who has done that. That He has changed things. Question for us today is, there was one more thing I wanted to tell you. I am 59 years old. My father is still alive. I have had great difficulty through the years establishing a relationship with him. I can't be a father and do whatever it is that I can do for my kids. Now look, my kids will tell you, I didn't do it all right. I'm not telling you I was perfect. I'm telling you that I did it different than I had it, and that God was in the midst of us and we would not fail, but I failed many times as a parent. This is not, oh, Scott's a super dad. Many times, and these boys could stand up here and tell you story after story, you'd probably run me out the church. And they'd all be true. But they know God. And they know my heart. And I watch my sons and my brother interact with their children. And I can't help but thank God. Thank you, God, for what you have done. Thank you, Lord, in the midst of tradition. Was it Hank Williams Jr. who sang, they say, yeah, Hank, why do you drink? Why do you smoke and all that stuff that you do? And he just proudly says, I'm carrying on my family's tradition. What he's saying is, this is what was sown in me. So this is the fruit that's coming forth. We see it in the world every day. Abusive men raise abusive sons and daughters. We see it every day, that the list goes on and on. You are who your parents were, especially if you were raised by them. I mean, I had to teach myself how to be a dad. I had no example to go by. Amen. Except my Heavenly Father was my example. Where are you today in that? Are you a good father? Are you a father who has struggled? Are you a father who perhaps have left your responsibility? I got news for you. God can flip your script. Amen. He can come in and repair, restore, and renew that which the enemy meant for harm. God can bring it forth to be for His glory. I got people who grew up with me in high school. They see pictures of me on Facebook in my garb. The only thing they can say is, what? You don't know what God's going to do. You have no idea what God has in store for you. In Isaiah chapter 9, so we don't get real confused, in Isaiah chapter 9, one of the names of Jesus before Counselor and all these wonderful Counselor and all these names is Everlasting Father. What? Jesus is our Everlasting Father. Everlasting. Sounds like a long time to me. Don't sound like he's ever going to get out of that boat. Doesn't sound like there's any storm that can come and separate me from the love of my God in heaven, my Heavenly Father, that is found in Christ Jesus. That's for you too. I'm not just special. It's for each and every one of us. It's for each and every home represented here today. God, in an instant, can can flip the script.
Yes, he can. Amen.
If you but have faith of a mustard seed. Just a little. He doesn't need it all. He doesn't need you to have a life full of faith that you can bring. Oh God, I got 18 gallons of faith. Just a little. Just a little bitty. Just a little bitty faith. Do you think I can? Faith is the essence of things hoped for. I hope you do, God. Huh? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. When you're in the middle of it, you're not going to see it. When the disciples went and shook Jesus, we're going to die. They did not see that storm coming. What are you in the midst of right now? What's going on in your life right now that you can't see the way out? You don't know what's going on. You don't know if God even cares. He might be asleep. He doesn't know what's happening. Allow me to be the first to tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell.
Amen.
Your heavenly Father knows everything.
Yes, he does.
He knows every hair on our head. And he even knows the perfect heads that don't have any hair on them. Can't leave them out. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. No matter what your experience has been. No matter how you were raised. Let me tell you, those of you who had good dads, they still weren't perfect. They still weren't perfect. You still need God to come in and help you knock off a few rough places. There are still a few things that you have found yourself saying, when I'm a father, I don't think I'm going to do that particular thing that particular way. So, I know Dad's really good, but there'll be a few things. That's okay. You're still honoring him. I don't want to bust you. He's not perfect. Huh? And there you have it. I have over the last few years, I'm going to end with this. I have over the last few years really made myself reach out to my Father more and more. Because I finally have gotten to a place in my life, finally, at 59 years old, and see him with different eyes than my own. He is loved by God as much as I am loved by God. And even though there is much pain in that valley of weeping of part of my life, I know that at 87, he's not going to be here much longer. And I have a responsibility on my life to do all that I can do. Amen. I have forgiven him many years ago. I just don't like being around him because I don't really know him. It is so hard. But I keep trying. I keep making myself do little things. We just went down for his 87th birthday not too long ago. It was probably the best visit I've had with him that I've ever had. that I can remember. And I'm, did I mention I'm 59, y'all? And this is still real. You understand what I'm saying? You got places in your life like that. But God's not done with you yet. God's not done with me yet. And in an instant, God can flip that script. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.